The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Have you had any friends for 25 years? I know that I've had just a few. That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Once again, we have our special guest on the show today, Steve Elkins, and we're going to be talking about his longtime friendship with Zane Hodges. Now, before we get to that, I'd like to remind you about our free magazine. You need to take a look at our magazine. You can do that by going to faithalone.org. You can subscribe to this print full-color magazine that comes out a number of times per year. You can get it right in your mailbox. So go to faithalone.org and subscribe for your own copy of this magazine. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Steve Elkins. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin, and I'm here with
Steve Elkins.
Well, Steve, good to have you back again. And we're talking about a good friend of ours, Zane Hodges, who went to be with the Lord in November of 2008. And by the way, when Dr. Zook died, we made a slight mistake. We put a little notice in our magazine that Dr. Zook went to be with the Lord, except we left out the word with the Lord, and we said Dr. Zook went to be the Lord. So that was a kind of a mistake there, because he is Lord, we're not. Yeah. He is everlasting life, we have it. We become the Lord, we never become everlasting life, but he's given us of his life.
Yeah.
So let's talk more about Zane Hodges. Now, you spent 25 years or so having lunch with him at least once a month, right?
Yes, it was awesome. And in addition to that, you know, calling him up and going to games and stuff like that as well. I would like us to talk about maybe a thing that we did right after I got out of seminary. I was on Young Life staff. And every year we would have an evening with Hodges. It was for our Young Life leaders and for some of our committee people.
When you say leaders, these would be not paid staff,
right?
But these would be the volunteers.
Right. Occasionally I'd invite some other staff people from the area too. And the ticket to get in, we titled it An Evening with Hodges. And the ticket to get in was to have a question for him, whether theology, Bible, psychology, whatever.
So if someone didn't come with a question, sorry, you better write one down if you want to come in.
Yeah, fortunately, that never had to happen. And then what he did, he always brought a hot topic that might last 15 or 20 minutes, and we would riddle him with questions on that for maybe 30 minutes. We'd break for dessert, then we would come back and bombard him with questions all over the board and talk about seminary education. It was so, so great. One of the things I wanted to bring out, you know, Bob, in these last few discussions we've had, we use big words like exegesis or heuristic genre or things like that. Zane would never do those kind of things. So depending on the audience, if he was speaking at a scholarly audience at a GES conference, he might use big words. But at church, for instance, he never used Greek words.
Right.
Never,
right.
Ever. And it was a little more advanced at this evening meeting we would have with him. But Marcy was reminding me today, I said, what are some of the things you like best about those evenings? She said, he made it so simple and understandable for everybody. And he certainly did do that. And as you and I agree, Zane was the best question answerer probably who's ever lived.
Oh, really? That's absolutely true.
So succinct, so to the point, and he would always have just the perfect verse for the issue. Let me give an example. One night, this would have been around 1990, we had about 40 people at our house, and Zane had presented his thing, and we'd gone through those questions. Now they're coming back with whatever questions. Somebody brought up the idea that C.S. Lewis believed, quote, that a noble Muslim could be saved, even though they maybe never heard of Jesus' name, but they would find out only once they got to heaven that they were saved through Jesus. But they never believed in him, never even heard his name. Well, this got everybody in a huge uproar.
Right.
One, nobody hardly believed C.S. Lewis would say such a thing. And two, the idea of inclusivism, exclusivism, you know, is Jesus the only way? Do you have to hear his name? That got everybody going. So it was two big issues. But as far as C.S. Lewis saying it, one of the adults that was there said, Steve, if you've got a copy of Mere Christianity, I can get you the passage. And immediately he turned to it. And sure enough, C.S. Lewis had said that. And so we're arguing. Everybody's arguing back and forth. Finally, after maybe 40 minutes, somebody comes to their senses and says to our distinguished guest, Zane, what would you say? And Zane simply said, well, I would say there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Yeah.
That's all he said. And you could hear a pin drop. And it totally shut everybody up. It cut right to the point. He used the perfect verse for the perfect situation, and that's the way he was.
No, that is a very good point. I remember he spoke at our annual conference almost every year, and guess what collared shirts he would often wear? He had these polo shirts that said Young Life
on them.
That's
right. We tried to keep him stocked.
You just gave him a bunch of Young Life shirts.
Elliot Johnson said at a GS conference that Zane used to be a volunteer leader in the Fair Park area, Young Life leader.
Really?
And Zane never told me that. I didn't know that. But he certainly was friendly to Young Life. He loved Young Life, and he approved, not only approved, but this was his method too, of relational evangelism, winning the right to be heard, building a friendship and relationship first, and of course, bathing it in prayer, but being sensitive to the Spirit about trying to share the gospel with someone.
Now, how long were you on staff with Young Life?
I was on staff for 25 years, but I was counting my volunteer years, 35 years.
Wow. And then from Young Life, you went to what, Corsicana Bible Church?
Believers Bible Church in Corsicana.
Believers Bible Church.
Yeah, I was there for 11 years, and then at Coppell Bible Fellowship just until a couple of months ago, and it's a great free grace church, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So you had these evenings with Hodges. Mm-hmm. And this went on for many years?
Every year for 25 years or so.
I assume then that Zane had a significant influence on many of the Young Life volunteers and staff.
Absolutely. All of our leaders love Zane. Some of them, you know, really loved him like I do. They just adore him. One of our best leaders that we had, this couple, they go to Tony Evans Church. Of course, Zane mentored Tony, met with him every week during his seminary days and doctoral program.
Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship,
yes.
Yeah.
And Tony often talks about Zane. In fact, I think he dedicated his book on salvation to Zane. And
Zane
like
was
that.
A member of his church about the last 5 years of his life. Yeah.
Right. Zane, from the beginning of going to Tony's church, said, I think Tony's the best preacher in America.
Wow.
Zane had heard a lot of preachers through his seminary days having to go to chapel and all that. So that's something for him to say that.
I think this illustrates, Steve, how we're not islands. People influence us and we in turn influence other people. The beautiful thing about Zane Hodges is not simply that he left us a lot of good books and a lot of good articles and videos or audio messages, but he touched people's lives.
No kidding. The very character of his own life. When he would come to these meetings, he had such a vivacious, infectious laugh. And he just had such a joy and peace about him. And you couldn't help but love him. He was so gentle and real. We all just loved him. And, of course, he's an unbelievable scholar on top of it. One day, I hadn't been out of seminary but a year or two. We were having lunch at Luby's on I-30 and Jim Miller. I'd been going to Victor Street for just a little bit.
Right.
And I thought Zane was the best preacher I'd ever heard. Every time I heard him preach, I would just almost start trembling at the end of it, not waiting to get out and put into practice what he was preaching about. It was so inspiring, so motivating. So at this lunch, I was going to ask him pointers about preaching. One of the questions I asked him was, do you always save your best points for last? He looked at me incredulously like, they didn't teach you that in seminary? Like, you know, everybody knows that. And so another question I asked him was, you know, where does he get his illustrations from? Because he had great illustrations, especially from the newspapers. He said there was a friend, a lady that lived up north that would send him clippings. So he had a lot of illustrations from that. And of course, Paul Tan's, you know, 7 million illustration book.
7,000.
<Yeah. laughs> But I wanted to get to it. And I said, Zane, what's your prep method? How do you go about putting together a sermon? He said, well, first I do my textual work. My work in the text, you know, the word studies and story, and find out what the main idea is. That's what he's talking about. But he just said textual work. And then I take a hot bath. And that was it. He, like, in the hot bath, I'm sure he's praying or whatever, but he just relaxes and lets it come together and the ideas will come. But it was down to earth. It was real.
Two quick stories for you. I remember one time Zane taught through 1st and 2nd Samuel in the Lord's Supper meeting. One particular Sunday evening when he was teaching, I watched him as he was kind of summarizing what he had been saying. And he was quoting some of the verses. And he had done this every week. But this time I looked down at the text as he was, I thought, paraphrasing the verses. He was giving me word for word the New King James of the text. And I concluded he probably memorized whatever he was preaching, the entire passage, because his knowledge of the text was amazing.
Yeah.
And second thing, the quick story, I used to speak at Victor Street, and Zane was in the audience. And I remember that was the biggest hurdle for me. Mm. I would look out, and, you know, there's a lot of active listeners that love to smile and nod their head, right? And they're with you, and amen, and that kind of thing. Zane wasn't that kind of listener. Zane would sit there rather stone-faced, and he would just take it in. And then at the end of the message, he would come up, and he would say, "Thank you, Bob," which meant, well, you didn't quite get that one right, but it was okay. Or occasionally, he would say, "You know, Bob, that was a very fine message." Mm-hmm. And I would just glow. I remember one time I gave a message on 1 Corinthians 15:17-19 about if Christ is not risen, then our faith is in vain, and those who have died have perished. And he said, "Bob, you need to publish that as a booklet."
Wow.
And I was moved. And it was like, it reminded me that Zane's praise was very special because he didn't just throw it out to deceive you, right? He didn't just say, "Oh, great message, Bob. Great message, Bob. Great message, Bob." If he said great message, it really meant something. And I can't tell you how many times in the Lord's Supper meeting he would correct me. There were at least four or five times where I learned key theological and exegetical points from him correcting me. But again, he didn't do that very often.
Yeah, those Lord's Supper meetings were unbelievable. I only went to maybe 20 or so. But one of the greatest things I've ever learned in my life, I learned at the Lord's Supper meeting. I'd love to share it with you our next time together. And I also want to tell you about a time that I preached at Victor Street and what he said to me.
Well, very good. Well, thank you all for listening. And we've been discussing Zane Hodges. And if you want to learn more about Zane Hodges, we carry a number of his books. We have a commentary on Romans by him that we believe is the best single commentary on Romans. Also, his commentary on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John is phenomenal. We have a number of other commentaries by him, all of his various books we carry. So if you go to faithalone.org, you can check out his various books. And there's lots of free articles by Zane Hodges. We have thousands of articles, and so check them out. Well, thanks for tuning in, and keep grace in focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to continue our discussion with Steve Elkins. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.